Looking forward to sharing with you this morning, simple sermon title called The Question. The Question. If you want to get an answer to something, you have to have or know something first. I'm going to give you a hint. It's not Google. Everybody thinks Google has every answer you ever need. It does in a lot of ways. If you want to, Siri too, right? If you want to get an answer, there has to be a question. For instance, if you stumble on a conversation and you hear somebody say it's at 5 p.m., until you ask the question, what's at 5 p.m., you have no idea. All you do is have guesses. Is it dinner? Is it a practice? Is it a meeting? Is it a date? Is it a root canal, right? What's at 5 p.m.? Right? If you don't know the question, right, you're not going to come up with the correct answers. Questions reveal answers to what we know or what we don't know, what we believe or what we don't believe. Some of you probably asked in your head, what time is this guy going to go until? What time are they serving hot dogs? Good questions. Let me tell you, it's 5 p.m. All right? Just kidding. In text lingo, JK. Some of you over the last 2 weeks got an invitation, and that's why you're here today. You also got a gift from us, the Gospel of John. You might have seen it looking like this. You got this invitation on the inside of your envelope. You got this on the other side, and you got this Gospel of John. Hopefully, you might have even looked at it or read it. That was our hope. The truth of the matter is God has a gift for you, and He wants you to have it. The question is, have you received it? The Bible says in that gospel that you picked up, and in my Bible, it says at the very end of John's gospel, these things have been written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, you will have life by the power of His name. So the big idea this morning, I pray you don't miss it, is that God has a gift for you, and it is to your advantage to take advantage of it. We want to look at the question that Jesus, God's only begotten Son, asks. Always keep in mind, Jesus is God in human flesh. In John chapter 11, Jesus proves it. There's a major family crisis. If you have a little Gospel of John with you, if you have your Bible, about halfway through, it's chapter 11. There's 21 chapters in the Gospel of John. Chapter 11, there is a major family crisis. Someone is very sick and is close to death, and Jesus' good friends, in one of the Gospels, it says Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus had a bond with these three. And guess what? Lazarus is about to die. And Jesus gets word of this. Mary and Martha sent for him. Jesus is about 20 miles away from where this sad situation is unfolding and increasingly getting worse. You Fitbit trackers, this would be about 50,000 to 60,000 steps away. This is about a day's journey. This is a long day. My best day as a tracker is about 30,000 steps. And that is being on my feet from about 5 a.m. till about midnight. That's a lot of walking. And so Jesus is a good 20 miles out. And in the meantime, Lazarus is getting worse. And so we want to understand what's really at stake here, what's really going on, what's the severity of the situation, that Jesus is about to demonstrate something so powerful that you and I still to this very, very moment have the opportunity to see His great power and place trust in Him. The other wonderful thing in this text, in the early part of chapter 11, it says, when Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death. If you had your Bible in chapter 11, verse 4, this is what it says. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. If you know your Bible, if you're in any way familiar, you know that God does not share his glory with anyone. So clearly right here, in our midst, in the midst of this situation, we have God in human flesh. Jesus is the embodiment of God in human flesh. That's how much he chose to identify with us. This is his amazing work. All the miracles that we see throughout the Gospels. And if you read that Gospel of John that you'll get a hold of, if you don't, we have plenty still left. We think about 400 to 500 have gone out over these last couple weeks. And we're so thankful for the invitations. And we trust that God will use that little booklet in the life of people. And if they don't come today, we trust that God's going to bring them here at the right time. And so you can keep praying for them. Many people were shared faith over these last couple weeks, and it gave us, some of us, a lot of more guts. Because it takes time to learn how to share Jesus with people. Because God wants to use you. He wants to use you as his ambassador. Your difficulties, struggles, and you think you don't have it all together, God knows that. But see, that's the beauty of our wonderful Lord. He can save us, and then he can put our feet on a firm and solid rock, and then he can use us, and he can use your life for something so special. But you and I have to be willing, and that takes time. Some of us are still at times kicking and screaming. That doesn't describe any of you, right? Right. I would like to read this text, so we're a little ways into John chapter 11. But picking up at verse 17, I just want to read 10 verses. They'll be up on the screen. Please follow along. It says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. So not only did Jesus allow the amount of time that it took for him to get back into this area where Lazarus lived in Bethany. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha, these are Lazarus' sisters, to comfort them concerning their brother. I was just at a funeral on Friday, and it's sad. Funerals can be sad. And so these can be very emotional, hard times for families, for friends, for loved ones. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she's getting word that he's coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. The question for you this morning is, do you believe this? Some people think that church adds just a little bit more religion to their life. I want to tell you this. This is a news flash. God is not interested in any of us getting more religion. Because guess what that's about? That's you trying to add something to your life minus Jesus. The one who has the life for us is not about religion. He is about relationship. I love what one pastor said. Religion is to do, to do, to do, and Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. You talk about getting yourself off of a spiritual performance track. You think about the attempts that so many people in the world make today to become self-actualized. I need to be self-actualized. Meanwhile, they don't realize that the real life that they need is in a person. And we're seeing evidence of that right here in this amazing conversation. Jesus is about to raise somebody who's been in the tomb 4 days. This guy is dead, super dead. It's super dead. He's dead. And one comment, one of the translations says, he stinketh. Okay, that's a pretty strong way of saying he's decomposing. He smells. He's dead. And all as our Lord has to do is make one call and say, Lazarus, come forth. And that tomb opens and he walks out with those grave clothes on. This is the power of our Savior. And Jesus demonstrated this power even before he himself went to the cross. Can't you see the power of our Savior? And guess what? He wants you to know this same life. He wants all of us to have this same life. Jesus is on the mission to give you everlasting life, to give me everlasting life. So many people think that they get all the time in the world. That's not the way to think. This question is so important because Christ came to bring you and me life forever. No matter how good this life is, there is no guarantees. And guess what? A fool ignores that. A fool is somebody who says, no God for me. That's a fool. And you wouldn't be here today if you didn't want to know something. But I do want you to know this isn't about just more religion for you. This is about real relationship with a wonderful Savior who went to a cross. Our Savior left perfect heaven on mission to occupy a little baby. His name is Jesus. Right? That's what they said. You will call his name Jesus. He grew up just like you and I do, yet without sin. He demonstrated tremendous power. He healed people. He fed 4,000. He had fed 5,000 with little scraps. He could just multiply them. But he was never doing this to show off. He was doing everything he did to glorify his Father. His whole life was to glorify his Father. Because he knew, Jesus knew, all the scriptures pointed to these moments. All the scriptures, all what the Bible says, all the history of the Jewish people, everything was pointing to this amazing time on planet Earth when God is showing his great love story to the world. And guess what? That love story continues right now, July 14th, 2019, that if any man be in Christ, any woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. You can live every day as a new creation. It is a hallelujah. It is an applause. And I'm so thankful. You know, yesterday's an example for me. You just never know what's going to happen. I had plans to be here yesterday, going out, passing out invitations. Wasn't feeling good in the morning. Really wasn't feeling well. And I couldn't get there. And I was also on mission to prepare that hot dog cart that lives in my garage, scrubbing that thing down, getting it ready, doing some training with Lorenzo. And I've been waiting for an opportunity to talk to somebody, and that opportunity presented itself yesterday. If I was here, it wouldn't have happened. And I got to give this individual a Gospel of John and just to share it with him. And because he's curious about the hot dog cart. He says, you know, I've had this dream of owning a hot dog cart. If I had $35,000, I'd buy one. I'm like, well, you know what? Let me tell you my story. So at our previous church, I was really working alongside this young guy who was going through a lot of PTSD issues from the military. His dad bought a hot dog cart. And this guy says to me, my dad really can't make it work. Do you want it for the church? I said, what am I going to do with a hot dog cart? Sure, bring it on. So we made it good for that season, for that summer 2014. It was an amazing summer for my family. Got this opportunity down at Scusset Beach, and I became a part-time hot dog salesman. I will tell you how many doors God opened up for us to talk about our reasons why we had this thing and how God, we called it the Taste and See cart, and it was based on Psalm 42, Taste and See the Lord is good, right? So we had that little scripture on there, and one girl would come up to and say, hey, I got the Bible on my phone. So the attentives knew there was more than just the taste and see that the food is good. Anyway, this guy comes over yesterday. I'm sharing this, you know, a little bit about it. And He says, I said, well, I'm a pastor. He goes, that explains everything. You're so nice. I'm like, oh my goodness. So anyway, I trust that a friendship will develop and where it will go. And, you know, it's funny how God opens up hearts. God will lead a prepared heart to a prepared person, even in my own driveway. So don't underestimate how God may want to use you. And guess what? God loves his son so much. And God wants to give his son's life to anyone who will receive it. This is the only way to eternal life. Rigid religious systems do not save you. No matter how much you are sincere in that, they don't save. Jesus wouldn't have come. Now, we honor Jesus here. It looks like we're a religious environment. I mean, we got to gather someplace. We have a cross reminding us of what happened 2,000 years ago. He was given in our place once and for all. That sacrifice was acceptable once and for all. Whoever looks to that sacrifice once is saved forever. Mark it down according to the Bible. If God backs it, you want it. If God don't back it, you don't want it. God backs Jesus because Jesus is his son, God in flesh. And only Jesus could do what he could do. And that is die in the sinner's place on that cross willingly, lovingly, to the point where he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These people are nailing me to a cross and they know not what they do. But I'm doing this because I'm the only one who can satisfy the wrath of God. If you want to see how much wrath was poured out in Jesus in our place, look at the cross. It is a very sobering look. And I pray today, if you've never looked to the real significance of what happened there for you, that you would rest in that and just say, I believe this. I trust this word and this record. You don't want to count on tomorrow. Count on today that Jesus, the Son of God, wants to give you eternal life. He is the proof that he loves you. See, when you're here today and you hear a message like this, I'm going on thousands of years of record. I'm going on 2,000 years since Christ was on this earth and how he surrendered his life for us. That every person ever born come out of a womb who has a problem, and that problem's called sin. That's not your fault. But the problem is it's our fault if we ignore that. And that's why the gospel's so powerful, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God is speaking this morning. I truly believe that, because I'm communicating what the word of God says. And God wants us to either remind ourselves, got it, got it, I got his salvation, I did receive it, and I am confident in it. Or there may be someone who says this morning, I don't got it, I want it. Great. I said before, if I put a gift up here and I said it's got $1 million in it, it's yours. Might have a little fight here, okay? Could be. But the point is, you got to come up and get it. I can tell you it's there all day long, but until you take it for yourself, it is not your gift. And that's the most wonderful thing about God. God is a generous giver. Oh, you know how generous he is? Look at this beautiful sky this morning. Look at these beautiful colors in all creation. Look at how these birds just do their thing every day and wake me up. My wife will say to me, please shut the windows. They're waking us up. They don't care that it's 4 a.m. They're just happy to be alive. There's so many evidences of God's love all around us. Look at the people in your life. Look at the human beings in your life. Okay, God gave you people in your life because he wants you to have relationship. But the only remedy to fix the problem that's here, and God certainly knows the situation that we are in, God knows what you are up against. Don't ever forget it. There's no battle. There's no sickness. There's no cancer. There's no grief. That our Bible says that he is a great, Jesus is a great high priest, and he sympathizes with every one of our weaknesses. He was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. You think that Jesus, if you ever want to know who is the friend that will stick closer than a brother, it is him. So many relationships around us can spoil. They can go wrong. People can just someday be here, one day gone the next. Your Savior will never leave you. Matter of fact, right now, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, there you will be also. That is awesome. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Guess where this comes from? The Gospel of John, chapter 14. This is how good this gospel is, that God wants you to have present hope right now, complete forgiveness right now, fellowship with Him right now, that only needs to just for you to come and eat, eating the Word of God. That's why people come to this church, because they get to eat the Word of God. They get to be fed. This is my job as a pastor, is to hopefully lay a banquet table every single Sunday by the grace of God, for it to happen in Sunday school, that you get fed, you get encouraged, and you go do what you can do in the world that you live in. That is a hallelujah. That is our amazing Savior. And guess what? God keeps records of our service, and He wants to reward us. Jesus says, I am coming and my reward is with me. Can you imagine being rewarded by Jesus? You remember that time where you were like putting up that hot dog cart for all those people? I do, Jesus. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to say, well done, good and faithful hot dog cart guy, but I'll take whatever I can get from him. I want to be rewarded by him. I want faithful service, and I know you do too. But we should be ready to just to simply, this is so much more. Serving Jesus is something that we do as we grow, as we get to understand him better, as we get to, so we're not fumbling around there. You know what? Sensitivity is key in sharing your faith with people. I really believe that. I believe you have to be sensitive to what they're saying, what they might be letting you in on without really saying it. As the Bible calls it, discernment. You learn to read between the lines, okay? This person is really telling me that they're in deep trouble. They're griping, they're complaining, they're miserable. What they're really revealing is an ache in their soul that they don't know how it's going to get met. And you have, if you have Jesus, you can help that need. Because I believe it when I preached a couple weeks ago that Jesus said that if we eat from him, if we truly eat from him, we will never hunger again. In other words, the greatest need for every human being is to know that you're right with God. That's really the cry of your heart. Am I right with my Creator? You may not have actually articulated that, but that's really that's really at work behind us. We know that something's not quite right. How come people don't do what I want them to do? Right? You ever feel like no one cooperates with me? And your own lack of cooperation in different situations, that can you can see how, because that underneath in all of us is a sin factor. And this prone to selfishness. I want what I want when I want it right now, right? None of you? Okay. So you get the point. Selfishness, and sometimes like, I mean, I'm even thinking about work in the church. Sometimes like I'm on a mission, but I realize I got to be careful there too. I don't want to be selfish. I want things to go so well here all the time, but I also have to let God do that. Let God do this work. That's my heart for this church. Let God get the glory for all that we get to do here. So the question is today, have you believed him? I'm not saying do you admit that Jesus lived on planet Earth? That is not salvation. The Bible says that Satan even believes that and shudders, right? The demons believe that and they shudder. I'm asking you, do you have the life of Christ in you? Would you pray with me? Just every eye bowed, every head bowed, every eye closed. This is just between you and God right now. No one else. It doesn't matter who's looking around. I would just encourage everyone just to close your eyes and just between you and the Lord right now. The question on in front of you this morning, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? He came for you. He loves you. And he wants relationship with you. Do you believe this is the question? If you have never said for the first time, I truly know what I've heard this morning, that I've never made that decision. I believe he came for me and I receive him as my own right now. Please, simply every eye closed, no one looking around, just between you and the Lord right now, I raise my hand to say, that pastor is speaking to me. Anybody here this morning? Anyone here this morning says, that's me. I want this life. I want to know I have eternal life. I need eternal life. I know it's not, perhaps you can say, I know it's not in me this morning. Maybe this is your day to know 100%. I celebrate. If you are a visitor here this morning and you're just echoing, your heart is echoing with these words, I celebrate that with you, that you know you have Christ's life in you. I say hallelujah, thank you for what God has already done in you. We should continue to rejoice in that. Father, I thank you so much for what you are doing in the lives of us who are calling upon you this morning. Once again, to know this matchless love that we, if we have already received it, we would become better ambassadors for you, that we would bring the life of our Lord and Savior to a lost world. The Bible says that he who has the Son has life. Jesus says this, he who does not have the Son does not have life. The moment you trust Christ, the moment you say, Jesus, I believe you, you have his life. It will not be taken away from you. And I pray, Lord, this morning that we would become more solidified in our knowledge of you. Thank you for what you're doing through this outreach today. May it be an impetus to reach more people as we move forward into East Wareham, Marion, other surrounding communities, Bourne, Sagamore, all of these towns, Lord, that our church could touch lives. We pray for you to guide us, lead us for the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name I pray, amen.